Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to be back with you all. Gonna just share a bunch of illustrations about vacation, but not to tell you how cool it was and how we didn't have 90 degree weather. The weather was awful. No. Have you ever watched an osprey at work? Have you ever watched an osprey at work? So they're beautiful, right? They're these huge birds that hover above the lagoon or the cove or wherever they are, generally 40 to 50 feet up. And they just hover there. And then all of a sudden, they stop flapping and they just drop. And boom, there's this big splash. And you don't know what's going to go on. About 10 or 15 seconds later, you see this huge bird start to flap its wings again with the water glistening off the sides. And in their really thick talons, you see a 2 or 3 or sometimes even 4-pound fish. It's amazing. And it's one of our pastimes in Massachusetts is to watch the ospreys work. Not to mention that it's a real luxury, right, just to get to sit and watch these birds work. But even more than that and deeper, the reason why it's so interesting and so fascinating is because you realize at that moment that that bird has been designed to do that. It's in its element, as we would say. It has been given by God these amazing eyes and these strong wings and these sharp talons to do exactly what it's doing. And it's just beautiful. And it's a joy to watch anybody do that in their life, isn't it? Right? Like anytime we see a teacher give an instruction or dissect a problem, or a coach design a new defense, or a doctor cure a patient, or a parent with their kids, or a leader that pulls everything together. These are moments where we watch people in their elements. You know, if you think about sports for a second, you can you hear the term the zone, right? Everybody's heard that term. Like, remember Michael Jordan used to just get in a zone and every shot he would take would go in the basket. And we love these moments. And we've all had them ourselves. And we've all watched people. Typically, when we think about this as it relates to ourselves, we think about, like, I've always wanted to be this person. Or if we think about it in somebody else, then we say, that person is really good at fill in the blank, right? These are, in other words, moments where we capture somebody being in their element is another way to think about this. And it's something that we all clamor for, don't we? Don't we all want to be in our element? Don't we all want to feel like we belong, that we're a part of something, and that we're finding sort of our earthly vocation? That would be a very church way to think about that, is to think about our vocation. So what's our earthly vocation? Like that osprey being in the cove, you know that's precisely where they're supposed to be. I am, buddy. So nowhere is this belonging any greater than with God. Right? So think about how we all yearn to understand, what's our element? What's our role? How do we belong in God's kingdom? How do we belong in God's kingdom? And this is the question that's behind the question that the disciples are asking Jesus today. Remember, in the gospel, there's always something, just like in our own lives, when humans ask something, there's always something behind that that we're trying to really figure out. Generally, we can't articulate it that well, but the good news about the gospel is that Jesus knows us, and he knows what we're really after. So on the surface, these disciples say, teach us to pray, just like John did. And that's divine speech, and that's marked the story of God. It marks our story because we use a prayer book every single Sunday, and we know that divine speech is the way that we communicate with God. So it's a natural question for the disciples to ask. How do we fit into God's grammar How do we belong to God? But Jesus responds to this request with a little bit of the Lord's Prayer. Did you notice that? You get about 6 verses or so, much shorter than in the Gospel of Matthew. So in other words, he's acceding a little bit to, okay, guys, I'm going to give you a little bit of meat for your bone. If you want to pray to God, just use these words, okay? But then he makes a turn. Did you notice that right turn? As if he's to say, don't equate my ministry with the ministry of John the Baptist. Don't equate this new relationship to God with all the previous relationships to God. There is something new, and I'm going to go to the question behind the question. Where do I belong with God? How do you fit in with God? And this is where he unpacks this with this interesting parable of the friend at midnight. Now, unlike a lot of characters, like a lot of parables, the characters are super easy to figure out in this one, right? We're the needy friend. I hope everybody probably got that, right? We're the people that need something in the middle of the night for somebody else, or we need relationship, or we need belonging, or we need a hug, or we need substance. We need something in the middle of the night. And God is at home with the world tucked into his bed nice and neatly. And there's no reason to get out of bed, but you would expect maybe for a friend you would get out of bed. Well, I'll just tell a short, funny story about getting out of bed after a long day of travel. On Friday, we started off from Cape Cod to head to Pennsylvania, and we hit one traffic jam after another. And it was 10 o'clock when the three kids and I arrived in Mannheim, Pennsylvania at this strange hotel, and we checked in, and it was 10 o'clock at night, and we had had it. I had had it. I lost my mind. I was like, if we don't stop talking, we're going to get in the car. We're sleeping in the... One time it was, we're going to all sleep in the bathroom, remember, kids? The next time it was, we're going to get in the car and drive to Roanoke right now. Now, I'm in just my... don't picture this, but just so you know, I'm in only my night clothes, okay? And I'm like, I'm not even getting dressed. We're leaving the hotel right now. And so, in other words, I say all this because think about this man at the middle of the night was getting somebody knocking on the door saying, help me. Now, I know we would all like to think that if our friend knocked on our door, we might get out of bed. But we all got to admit that there are moments when we might not get out of bed for anybody. Because I just had one 2 days ago. And I love you all. But had you knocked on the door, I would have said, go away or take some of my kids. I love you. But I would have given them to the neighbor had I had a chance to. No questions asked, right? And so, but we see this. So back to this parable. So we see this with God. And he says, I'm not going to help you. And so on the surface, you're like, why isn't he helping his friend? But when we really push deeper, we know that we've all been in that moment where the house is quiet and you're like, can't you go bother old Ned Flanders next door or bother somebody else, not me? So we can appreciate where he's coming from. But the story doesn't end there, right? The needy person, you and me, doesn't have to go to the next house, do they? No. The man does rise up, not out of a sense of obligation, i.e., not because of any transaction, but because the man, that's what the man does. The man rises up to come to those in need. God rises up to come to those in need. In other words, he operates on a one-way track to help us, friend or enemy. He comes to the one who seeks and asks for help. He comes to the one who exposes his inner needs to him. In other words, opening up yourself, as we say in the beginning of our communion prayer, lift up your heart to God. Exposing who you are and where your needs are to God. Then God responds by rising up and coming to meet us. And this answers this deeper question about how do we fit into God's world. We fit into God's world by offering and exposing our very needs to him. We fit in by asking for whatever ails us. We fit in by exposing our truest selves. And we do this through prayer, no doubt, through supplications, through writings and drawings, through any actions. In other words, the form doesn't matter. It's about the substance. It's about offering up yourself to God, offering your needs to God, opening up yourself to God. That's where we find our zone, or to put that into the words of Psalm 85, that's where righteousness and mercy meet, which is shalom, which is peace. That's where we find our element with God. Universally, all of us, when we open ourselves up to Him. So what does this look like? It's an illustration, buddy. Good question. So here's what it looks like. It looks like the time that we were fishing. Remember Nev and George? And we caught a bunch of black sea bass. And Captain Jimmy, who was this great short Italian captain with this old lobster boat that smelled awful, got us into a bunch of bottom fish. And towards the end of the day, he's like, you guys want me to fillet these sea bass. And he goes, the really interesting thing about filleting fish is that you can, they tells a story of where they've been and how they've lived. It tells a story of who they are, in other words. Because we all know that besides on TV, fish can't talk. They can't tell us things. But their bellies can tell us things about where they've traveled and the waters they've lived. And so Captain Jimmy slices open this fish and out comes his guts. Sorry, it's pre-lunch. But out comes his little periwinkles and the various different minnows that he's eaten and the algae. All the other stuff that he's consumed in his life. Where he's tried to fill his needs and who he is. Just like if you take us and open up our hearts and expose our souls, you'll see exactly who we are. Well, that's precisely what Jesus is getting to his disciples about today, is that we are to metaphorically fillet ourselves open for God, to open ourselves up. In other words, to let our guts hang out for Jesus. And this doesn't mean that when we do this, right, that every question is going to get answered the exact way we think. But it does mean that God will rise up and meet us there in that place of need. And there is no question about that. And that is the good news. And we know that because He did rise up. He rose out of the tomb and He came back for you and for me and our neediness and even our guts. In all of who we are, so that we would know once and for all that our element, the place where we belong, is with God for who we are, not for anything else other than that. For precisely who you are at this moment, right now, is where God is meeting you with love, mercy, and truth. Amen.
Amen.